Good afternoon, gardeners. You're listening to Garden Planet with Selena and Karen.
Ahi ahi Mario, people.
In this episode, we are going down to ground zero. And Karen, you're going to share with us the results of your soil safe test. Now, Karen, is this good news or bad news?
I think it's like mostly good, but there's definitely areas of concern. And I mentioned in our last show, I think I touched on it a little bit, but I've had a good look at, the results now and done my own sort of research with it all.
Okay.
So, So what I'll do is I'll run you through the basics of the results. The first point of confusion that I had with them was with my labelling. They just gave me some random labels, and I was like, I don't even know what areas you're talking about. So I had to contact them first, and we clarified all that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, if you are going to do this, because I actually had more than five samples. And then I said, and while you're at it, where was the one for my mandarin and the, there's this sort of wedge of grass out the front near our garage, and they were like, you're only allowed five samples.
Okay,
so five samples, that's right. It, guys. So choose carefully. Yeah. Okay. So and then even after I'd asked, they were like, nah, they would have just thrown that sample out. I was like, damn it. Yeah, so, but, and they said, as we said, and I looked back at the email, I was like, no, they didn't say only five. And anyway, I just left it at that. I thought, you know what, at the end of the day, I've got some great results. Well, not great, but it's great having knowledge.
Okay, well.
And it was free, so
I'm dying to know.
So thank you. Big ups to Soil Safe Aotearoa for doing that for me. So I was a little bit concerned. They tested for arsenic, cadmium, chromium, copper, manganese, lead, nickel, and zinc. A lot of those are heavy metals and definitely worth knowing, you know, if you have or don't have in your soils.
Yeah.
And the one that really, all the others seem to be well under the recommended sort of levels.
So,
but arsenic, seemed to be an issue.
Oh no!
So that's why in today's show, I wanted to go into soil contamination and with particular reference to arsenic, because I'm pretty sure that this is probably not an uncommon finding in New Zealand. I can say that now because I've sort of researched a bit now, and so it's So the highest one they found was 59.8 milligrams per kilogram, and it was underneath my lemon tree, which is of concern because, like, I love eating my lemons. In a residential area. And that is considered, what did they say, where 10% of residential diet is made up of fruit and vegetables. So that's okay. I'll definitely be under that.
Yeah.
They said that the national soil contamination standard is 20 milligrams per kilogram. So that's like a third less. It's a third, sorry, of...
It's
my result. So my result was three times that.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
So.
So. Yeah, I was. There were sort of some things at the end, sort of discrepancies or not discrepancies. That's not the word. You know when they do
variables.
No.
Anomalies.
When they do a disclaimer at the end. Disclaimer.
Okay.
Well, I guess it is talking about maybe discrepancies in the results. But so depending on how wet your soil was, how far you dug into the soil, all those sort of things, or whether you'd recently mulched, or there's all these factors that play into it that can affect the accuracy of your results. So, I mean...
How far did
I just went... Obviously, just my lemon trees are shallow rooted, so I didn't really want to go... too deep with it all. And I don't really dig deep into my property anyway. Maybe if I'm transplanting a large sort of plant or something, be the only time, and it's usually not an edible one anyway. So So that was interesting. There seems to be... So cadmium, LOD, means, I think, too low to detect or something.
Okay.
Oh, LOD, below the level of... Yeah, I'm just reading the sheet now. Below the level of detection. So cadmium, sweet. Chromium, yep, I was well under. Copper, well under, way under. Manganese, they didn't have one for the manganese. Mm. Lead, that was another one. They thought, oh, yeah, that was all under the recommended.
Yeah.
Nickel, did they have one recommended?
So it was just...
But it was the cadmium, sorry, the arsenic, that was the one that was sort of red flagging for me big time. So let's just talk a little bit about soil contaminants in general.
Yeah, is that?
I found some information on the health.gov.nz website.
Yeah.
Okay. And it talked about soil contaminants and health. So soil contamination results where hazardous substances are either spilled on or buried in the soil or migrate to the soil from a spill that has occurred elsewhere. That's what they define as soil contamination.
Mm.
The main contributing soil contaminants in New Zealand include lead, arsenic, cadmium, mercury, organochlorine, pesticides, and polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons. The Ministry for the Environment provides useful information. So if you want to find out if your land is contaminated, check out the Ministry of Environment website. They've got some data there. Or else get your soil tested at SoilSafe for free.
Okay.
Yeah, you still have to post it down to Dunedin though.
Yeah.
So sources of soil contaminants, it's affected by many factors, our soil, including past and present land use and activities and nearness to pollution sources. So here are some examples of some land uses and activities that may cause soil contamination. Fuel storage, and this includes service stations, chemical manufacturing or storage including pesticide production, power stations, gas works, agricultural use, large industrial facilities, timber treatment, sheep dipping and historic mining.
Okay, so Karen, when you were saying about contaminants, are they strictly chemical, not organic, that don't belong to the soil, that are in the soil?
Yeah, so they've come, like they're pollutants, so they've come from any of those things just listed. So I did a little bit of research on arsenic.
Yes.
Okay. So it's actually a naturally occurring element and is one of the most common potentially toxic trace metals in the New Zealand environment. Mm. So I was like, okay. So this isn't uncommon.
Not so.
It is commonly classed as one of the heavy metals, but it is technically not a metal but a metalloid, which is an element that has properties that intermediate between those of metals and non-metals. It's chemically similar to phosphorus, which is one of the essential components of our life processes. So arsenic commonly moves around in the environment as a negatively charged ion in combination with oxygen. And this is different from most metals, which form positively charged ions like copper, lead and zinc. And this is interesting, and I'll talk a bit about that in a minute. Arsenic is toxic to animals, including humans, and is also a carcinogen and causes both skin and lung cancers. Arsenic is of most concern when it is in potable water supplies. The current New Zealand and WHO standard for arsenic in drinking water is less than 10 parts per billion. Oh. Now, in my soil, I was getting around 60 parts per million.
What? Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
So
that's quite... But then that's soil, not water. So
yeah,
water's...
water will...
Yeah,
it.
Different, but...
Did they have any information on how to contain it or purify it or...
Okay, so yes, they do. I've got some information at the end because I think this is really important for any gardener. Yeah, I'll get into that. But I did a bit of research on our property and there's this site and on the Auckland Council site. I've forgotten the name of the, is it Geotech or something like that? Anyway, if you just ask the helpline, they'll point you in the right direction. It's free. You can just look at it. And it's basically a whole set of aerial photographs that the Auckland Council has of the Auckland region from, like, I think 1900 onwards. So I then checked out what our land looked like, you know, before housing was on it, okay, because it's a relatively new build. Yeah, 70s or something. Yeah, so it was all just farmland.
Yeah.
Just not forestry or anything like that. So it was farm and so I'll tell you where the arsenic comes in. Yeah. It's got to be from this.
Where did it come from?
So yes, it was denser around the lemon tree, but it was all over. But particularly the lemon tree. So it was used in a variety of industries, including lumber, agriculture and livestock. So I'm putting my money that agriculture and livestock, either that or maybe when they cut down the forests, maybe they had a plant. I know there's a lumber plant.
They had a mill.
Yeah.
Well, Henderson had a mill, and I suppose where you are, Donbuck.
Yeah, I know there's a timber kiln in Kumu.
Yeah.
So who knows, it could be that. But my bet would be herbicides. Back in the day, I spoke to my mum about it, who's been like a farmer almost all her life. And she said, yeah, they used to chuck arsenic around like everywhere it went on farms. Herbicides, monosodium, methane arsenate, and insecticides, lead arsenate.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, I'll be putting money on that. It's used a lot in the industries, electronic industries. They use it in like part computing, like as semiconductors, gallium arsenide. So it's quite a
common
element that is used. And the other thing was, and this is interesting, some natural sources, so there are natural sources, not all, is of arsenic include volcanism. And of course, Auckland being volcanic city.
Yes. So maybe that was the natural.
It could be a certain amount of naturally occurring arsenic in there as well. Yeah, I would say. So really, really interesting findings. So what to do about it? Okay. So to minimise exposure to soil was kind of too late. And the other thing, why only the lemon tree? Why was the lemon tree like so much higher? Well, I'm betting that people back in the 70s and 80s just threw insecticides at it with arsenic in them.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, the lemon tree's fine though and it's going well. But, the soil, not so much. Okay, so if you do have this problem in your soil, it is recommended by that website, the www.health.gov. Cover the garden area with clean materials, like what you've done at your place, with like uncontaminated soil, compost, manure, or peat moss, or just use pots. Adjust your soil pH so that it is near neutral. Raising pH levels in the soil can help to immobilize metal contaminants and prevent uptake by plants, which I thought was interesting. Don't use CCA treated timber. CCA treated timber, so if you like got garden beds, it's been treated with chromium, copper and arsenic to preserve it.
Yeah.
Okay. And don't grow fruit and veggies directly next to old buildings where lead levels, well, that's more lead. Reduce dust and bare soil surrounding the garden because obviously you don't want the dust blowing around so and getting into your airways. So just keep the ground cover going well. And the other thing that I was going to just touch on before we move on to your topics was, you know how I was saying it's a negative iron? So when it's, often metals will So you'll find copper not as a pure copper form, but like copper sulfate. Mm. So that's the way the chemistry works.
Join up, yeah.
Yeah, this one's negative. So copper's copper 2 plus, if I remember. So that's like, yeah, short 2 electrons. Okay, so I wanted to just touch on... Okay, so arsenic can stick to the surface of some minerals because of that. It's a negative ion and will therefore stick to positively charged surfaces such as rust, organic materials, and clays. And what's my... Yeah.
Oh.
Soil. So
clay.
It's kind of drawn to it as well. So... Okay. So that was really, it was a really interesting little research project, actually. I've learned a lot about my
reminds me
local ground.
Chemistry and
all my whenua.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. So there's, it was all pointing to it. I've got all the factors.
Okay. Well, you find a bit of little history of your land. So
yeah. So well worth doing, I think, especially if you're growing stuff.
Okay. Yeah. So I've got to get onto that and do my sample.
I would, just for curiosity. Yeah.
So soil safe.
And I want you to now, because I want to
compare results.
I want to see if your results, just not because of, it's like a competition thing,
but
I'm interested to see. You're down the hill.
I'm down, down the bottom valley.
Maybe your arsenic's maybe washed out to sea.
Maybe.
With you being downstream.
Okay.
Be interesting to see. Oh. And you said that a lot of your topsoil was taken off, bulldozed off and everything.
Yeah.
So that might be a good thing.
Maybe, and we're taking all the residue of the herbicides or whatever they used back in the day away. Oh, that's so interesting, Karen. Thank you for sharing that.
Oh, you're most welcome.
Okay, let's go to our plan of the week.
Of all the saddest words that I have ever heard, the saddest is a story told me by a bird. He'd spent about an hour chatting with a flower, and here's the tale the flower told. Quote, I'm a lonely little petunia in an onion patch.
An onion patch.
Yes,
our plan of the week, speaking of soils, can grow in mud. And there is...
Which is soil, just wet
sticky
soil. Yeah.
And there's plenty of it around my area because I am near the creek.
Yeah.
And so this plant grows right in the creek. It's the mangrove.
Does it, grow right up, to where your house is, or is it a bit further down?
Well, wherever the creek or the estuary meets this, the sea, the creek goes out to the sea and the...
Because I know there's mangroves out sort of past where... Because Selena's place is a stream and then it joins onto the stream that goes...
Yeah,
past our community garden, and if you walk a little bit further down, you can see the mangroves. But
there is mangroves sort of where I am. And there's another arm of the creek, and that's full of mangroves.
Oh, that's random!
So it's sort of coming into salty water when the tide comes in.
Oh, that's cool!
And then fresh water
and
it's going out.
And it's not too fast flowing.
No.
Because they don't like too fast flowing.
No.
So that stream right next to the community garden is far too fast flowing them. But
It's more lazier around my area.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So I used to I don't know, I thought mangroves were kind of a boring plant that was always there at the back of my property.
Oh.
But now I've done a little research about them. And
fascinating.
They're fascinating. And
what plant can tolerate salt other than the mangrove? There must be a few, but
the Hutakawa I've seen growing out of sand and rock.
Yeah.
The cool thing about mangroves, they can grow in the mud. They've got these roots that can breathe when the tide goes in and out. They have special little holes called pneumatophores.
Oh, yes.
They're like little snorkels.
Yes.
And you can see them when the tide is low. They're just sticking up.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Are those their roots?
Yeah, they're their roots, but they're kind of like their little ear, ear passages.
Okay.
Yeah, so the plants aren't going to drown in the tide.
That's so cool.
And they just, protect the estuary areas and provide a great habitat for wildlife, birds and fish. And also oysters can grow on them, did you know?
No.
Yeah. And they can grow right down the Auckland area to where it kind of gets too cold. So they're not really past Auckland. They're more of a subtropical plant.
Right.
So you actually might see them, like, if you live in the Amazon, which maybe some of our listeners do, there's plenty of mangroves.
Yeah. And they've got an incredible filtration system as well.
Yes. And the good thing about it is they absorb contaminants.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that. But I mean, like, they're able to... something in their roots or leaves or there's something whereby they take in the seawater as their source of water, yes. Is that right? And then expel the salt.
Yes.
And you can see the little...
It's sort of on builds their, up on there.
On their leaves.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
So there
I've never seen a plant that... there's no other plants that I've seen do that.
They're a wonderful plant. And also interesting is the seeds actually germinate on the tree. They just... get a head start in life on the tree
before
they
crazy.
Go into the ground. So
They filter a lot of the gunk out of the water for us.
Yes.
And purify it. I don't know how they... Where does all the gunk end up, I wonder? In the mud, maybe?
I'm thinking it might have something to... Well, I know that the fungi... also can break down heavy metals, so maybe the fungi are attached to the roots somehow and that will take away the heavy metals.
Wow.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those the microbes do a lot of work that we don't see.
Yeah. So
So they've got all that attached to them as well.
Yeah.
Wow.
So if
they've got it all, haven't they?
Yeah. And what plant grows in mud? Well, mangroves grow in mud.
Yeah.
Oh, also crabs. Like to live in mangroves. So if you're a fan of crabs, like, I think they're very tasty.
Yeah, I like crab. Yes.
Yeah. And so it is a shame that people are trying to get rid of them to clear them away.
Oh, for housing and whatever.
Yeah. And that is destroying the habitat and our...
You know, it's so interesting that you say that because... I was having this exact conversation with the children at school today about, they were like, oh, I care for it. We're thinking of all the things we care about. It's one of the school mottos or values or something. And like, oh, I care about the environment. I said, that's great. Yes, that's great that you're caring about the environment and keeping it clean. But caring for the environment, you inevitably end up caring for yourself.
Mm.
Full circle sort of. It helps you in the end too, which is kind of cool. It helps the whole, all of us.
Yeah.
How did I get to... Anyway.
No.
Where did that come from?
Okay.
You were talking about something about the environment. Yeah. Oh, housing and stuff.
Yes.
Like, we're taking away something that we... You
gives
know,
us
if
life.
We cared... Yeah. You know.
Yeah. It's like cutting our foot off.
Yeah.
You know, despite, I don't know.
I don't understand it. But then I kind of think, oh, well, people need houses, but we need mangroves too. Conundrum.
Balance. Well, let's have a little listen to this song.
What is the song you've chosen? Oh, it was On the Roof, wasn't it, or something like that?
Yeah, because if we have no soil, where are we going to grow our plants?
Oh, yeah, I see where you're going. On the roof.
Oh,
that's totally what I was thinking.
Okay.
Yes.
And I just thought, well, I thought if your news was going to be so bad, oh, I can't grow anything now because my soil's so contaminated.
Oh, but I'm probably already like a walking contaminant anyway, so I can't, yeah.
So if you have no land and you're living up in two stories up, well, what do you do? Well, it's now, there's some options.
Well, there's always options.
Container gardening, microgreens.
Windowsill gardening.
Wicking beds. Bonsai.
Yeah.
Terrariums. And air gardens.
Yeah.
I had a whole list there. I was like, what do you do if you don't have any soil?
I know, that's one of my, like, because I, you know, I have people saying, oh, you know, you live in Auckland, why don't you just live in an apartment and then you won't have to drive anywhere? And I'm like,
I don't know if I could live
soil.
In
I don't care if it's contaminated.
You need your feet on the ground. You need to feel grounded.
Yeah.
And I am not a big fan of heights.
But I would do that. I think if I did happen to live in an apartment, hey, who knows? I reckon I'd be the one with... Yeah. You wouldn't even be able to walk out on your deck.
It'll be... Oh, that's the green room. Yeah, that's, you know, Karen's
battling
place.
Battling vines and
yeah, she's growing the vine all over the sky tower. Yeah. That's that lady there.
Crazy plant lady.
Yeah.
You do see it, though, in some people's...
Yeah, yeah.
Balconies, I think.
Yeah. I thought a bit about bonsai because that's kind of the, like, the Japanese have been doing that for hundreds of years. And you know how the Japanese live in tiny, tiny apartments.
Mm, mm.
So they have perfected the art of
mini gardens. Have you always wanted to do a bonsai?
Well, when I did research, like, how to go about it, there were so many things that you needed.
Oh, really?
Like the different types of gravel and soil and the perfect pot and then the specific type of bonsai suitable.
They sell them
plants.
At Kings, though, surely.
And then moss. Oh, you can get...
I'm just going to get one ready.
You can get one ready, mate.
Yeah. Oh, shoot.
But then you need, like, your little scissors and your nail things to cut and shape everything. So it's quite high maintenance. But if you're willing and you don't have any soil, you have no land, but you want to be caring for a
green
plant, you need the green. Yeah.
And it's not just... Yeah, it's like... How beautiful just having a miniature tree. I reckon it would make my day, like, I would probably just sit it somewhere, like, special.
Yeah.
Well, not like, somewhere that I could just sit and go, you know, I'm going to look at that for a moment.
Yes, it's very easy.
You know, or sit and have a coffee and just admire the, what it, you know, just have it sort of there, not hidden away.
So.
They almost don't look real.
Remember when we were talking about Arbor Day and they had special days all around the world for trees? Well, yeah, the Japanese have Greenery Day.
Yeah.
And then you think of places like Tokyo, there's no land at all. They're all in these skyscrapers, which is a bit scary because the way the, well, we live in Auckland and the way the Unity plan or whatever it is going, it's like, we want everyone to live in high-density buildings.
Oh, is that the latest, is it?
Oh, no, this has been going on for a few years now that they're redoing the land use in Auckland so that they can build, like, 20 stories high.
The
council.
You know, I just get so confused with all these things. Like, they're telling people to grow their own food because it's healthy and cheaper, and then at the same time they're telling people to get rid of the gardens and, just, I don't know.
So I was like, my brain was, like, exploding because, like, what do we need to do? You're telling us one thing, but then you're doing another, going in the opposite direction.
Yeah, it's baffling. Don't ask me. Mm. I just don't even listen to the politicians anymore. It's too... Too much. I've lost me.
All right, people. Ground zero. Have a look at your ground and do some testing and see what you come up with. We'll put the soil safe link on the website and see how you go.
I think you have to send them an email first and then they send you an ID number and all that. Yeah. So, yeah.
All right, happy gardening, everyone, and be thankful if you do have land that you do have land.
Yeah, totally. Ka kite anō, everyone. Take care. Keep grounded.
When this whole world starts getting me down and people are just too much for me to face, top of the stairs and all my cares just drift right into space.